Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike.
Hello, everybody. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hey. What's going on?
It's raining here on the East Coast in my little neck of New England. It's been a long, soggy day.
It's hot and muggy here.
It was 80 sunny and a nice slight breeze off the ocean.
It seems to always be sunny wherever you're at, so.
I know.
It might have something to do with that socialization of yours.
Oh, okay, you want to start already, huh?
No, I didn't say butterfly. I can't say social butterfly. I tried to keep that out.
I love.
Oh, yeah. What's my name, Phil? What's my name?
Hey, Phil.
Huh?
Yeah.
He says...
On some days.
He says, huh? After when I say,
huh? What would you not say to a wounded warrior?
What would you not say to a wounded warrior?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Wide variety.
Well, there's... Well,
I mean, of course, I would thank him for his service. Him
well,
or her.
Wait, wait. There are just some things you should or should not say to a wounded warrior or his or her spouse. The truth is that sometimes when people try to offer advice or words that might help, it ends up being more hurtful than helpful. So if you are part of the military community or close to many who are, you probably will come in contact with someone who has been injured or the family of an injured service member. Let me give you some advice on what you shouldn't and examples of what you can say instead to a wounded warrior or his family. Don't ever say, at least you got to come home early. You could say, I'm glad you got to see him. I'm so sorry that he has been hurt. Or don't say, well, he looks okay to me. Do say, I hope he's doing better now. Don't say, well, at least he has both his legs. You say, wow, I'm so glad that you're able to keep both your legs, but I'm sure you are still struggling with the pain you go through daily. Don't assume that a warrior isn't wounded. Include everyone, all wounded warriors, whether you can see their injury or not, or networking that you can offer. Might find to the challenges wounded warriors and their caretakers have faced or are continuing to battle. Ask what you can do to make their journey easier. Are there any resources that you can share to help them in their recovery? They're going through the toughest times of their lives, and a statement that is misspoken can really hurt the family during an already low point. Oh, when you try to respond to our amazing survival, but take a moment to think about your responses before you say them. Don't know what to say, just simply say thank you for your service. Simply saying thank you means a lot. What would you add to that list? Anybody got any comments?
Yeah, my youngest, my son, he's come to know the baseball caps that the veterans wear.
Uh-huh.
Or if he sees anybody in a military uniform, he automatically associates that with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He's adamant on you have to go up and shake their hand and say thank you. And that's pretty much all we've ever done. There's been a couple of guys that have engaged conversation, but we just keep it short and sweet. And if I don't do that, he becomes quite upset with me. So that's usually what we do.
Good. Glad you do that. It's like, if you're within 100 miles of VA, you guys have heard me say this before, stop by, spend an hour, hour and a half, just walk around and say hello, thank you. Ask them if they need anything, or bring a book, some cards, checkers, whatever, because a lot of times they don't have that shit there.
Wow, you would think that they would supply some of that stuff to keep them busy.
Hell,
are you
kidding?
They're cheap. Huh.
Why do you think we do a run, a couple of runs a year to keep the van running for the paralyzed vets?
Right. That's just a shame.
See, I've met wounded warriors, and I never sat there and said anything rude to the ones I met. It was always, God bless you for a service you gave. You know, I had no problem shaking their hand, you know, offering them something to drink. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just know. I mean, my brother was in the service. He had, you know, an area that was amputated. You know, I'm not an idiot. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit there and say to somebody, well, hey, you know, wow, what happened to you? No, that's just rude. You know, there's common sense that goes a long way, but most people don't have it. I give 100% kudos. It doesn't matter if they're wounded warriors, if they're just retired military, if they're active military, always. Give them kudos, always.
And it's
put their lives on the line.
It's kind of common sense that you would never walk up to a vet that had been wounded in action and, you know, say something like, well, at least you got to come home early. Because a lot of them guys who get wounded feel that they've let, like, their unit down by getting injured or, you know, their battle buddy, whatever. And they you know, put themselves through a lot of mental anguish because, you know, it is what it is. And unless, you know, you're sitting on the side of them and happen to be in the same area they were with whatever happens, you can't relate to that, because some of the things the soldiers have seen we'll never see within our lifetime, you know. So you should try to always use some type of proper etiquette when conducting yourself in a conversation with somebody who may have been wounded in action or was a POW or any or all of the above.
Right. See, I've been around that. So, you know, I know my common sense. And the last thing I would sit there and, you know, oh, well, thank you for, you know, your post-traumatic stress syndrome, you know, that you have to deal with because of what you did. No, you just can't be that way. I'm sorry. You know, showing a heart is a long way. And just like Phil said, even just saying thank you, you know, do you know how many people do not thank a military member, male or female? It's like, what is wrong with you people?
I've had a couple of older gentlemen, they have to be at least like in their 70s or 80s, that me and my son have gone over and shaken their hands. And they downright said that, you know, the two of us made their day, because
yeah,
they don't get that too often. And then
no, they don't.
It's usually the older guys that will ask, you know, do I have anybody that's in the service, you know, and I'll tell them, yeah, my daughter. And so they'll get into a little bit of words of that. I must have, you know, be military friendly, et cetera, et cetera. But the old guys, they so appreciate it, because they didn't have all the things in play that some of these younger vets do. Not to say that some of the system is not any better than what it was, but society as a whole is more in tune and more aware about our vets because of this long engaged war that we've got going on. And, you know, everybody who's everybody knows someone who's either just joined the service, is already in the service, or is away, you know, at war. And maybe with that, we've got better things for these vets, places for them to turn to, et cetera. But those old guys, they didn't get none of that stuff, and they really, really deserve as much recognition and gratitude as some of the younger ones coming home.
Right. Well, no, I agree with you on that because, you know, when my stepdad came out of Vietnam, nobody thanked him. I just started calling him a baby killer. You know, and I don't understand that mentality. So, you know, I've thanked younger ones as well as the older retired guys, you know. But when it comes on certain things, I have no problem. Hey, thank you for your service.
I happen to see thousands of those guys every day.
Well, I know.
And I don't even have to say nothing. They know. Because they know what we're doing for them.
Right. Well, like I said, you know, they understand what you're doing. It's a wonderful thing, what you do. But, you know, in other places, they don't do that. You know what I mean? Or it's not known to be, if it is taking place, you know, they keep it a secret. But like I said, I've never had any problem appreciating what they've done. What they go through.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, not everyone will view it the same.
No. Everybody's
different. It's ignorance. Yeah, it's ignorance.
Let's hang on a second.
Okay.
Hello, Eunice. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Phil. How are you? Hi, girls.
Hi, Eunice. How are you?
Good. Good.
Good.
Yeah, I'm waiting. Well, I told Nora and Stacy what not to say to a wounded warrior, and I don't know if you heard any of that, but
again, I come in with half of it, and I know you're talking about our boys that fought for us in any service in World War II, Vietnam, anything. I remember when they come home from Vietnam. You know, they were treated horribly. But nobody understood the way they had a fight over there.
No.
Nobody.
No, and I just put the link up in there on what not to say to a wounded warrior in the chat room. But I'm waiting for Emilio, Philip, Paul and Martin had a meeting, but they're going to stop in after the meeting. They're going to call in. But,
good.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Down Syndrome Ride, which is Sunday, and then we're going to talk about Emilio's charity, which is Left Out.
Right.
For the Down Syndrome, it's just wonderful what you guys are doing. That's wonderful.
You guys do a lot of good works, a lot of good deeds, and you know, you're really not, you know, some people know about it, you know, but a lot of people don't know about it. And I've been telling people to call in and listen to the show. And as you know, Herma's turned me on to you guys. And I listen faithfully every Tuesday. My husband wanted to go out to supper. I said, no, I got to listen to a program. You're going to suck it down. I said, yes, I am.
That's great.
Yeah, so I really enjoy listening to you guys. And Phil, I haven't forgot the baby's dress and bonnet. I got the bonnet done and half the dress done. But I've been just so busy that I just, I hope
to
have
world.
It done. Huh?
Welcome to my world.
I'll have it done before I leave for Florida, I promise you.
Enter word social.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I try anyway, you know.
So, I went to a birthday party Saturday, and then I hung out with Paul and his wife, and I woke up to gunfire. And then
You're kidding me.
And then they found out there. Well, I was sleeping in his motorhome, and then I found out that there was a an officer involved shooting, and it was right over where the party was. So I thought, okay, we better check and see who got crazy and who didn't, but it had nothing to do with us.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah.
There's too much of it. Even in Florida, there's too much of it. I mean, we live in a secure place, you know, and I'll tell you, you hear the shootings all over the place, especially in the middle of the night. I'm up on the computer, you know, writing, and it's like an echo, you know, it's so quiet, and you could just hear it, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, you don't go out by yourself in Florida now.
Not really. But for me, sometimes I have flashbacks.
Yeah, especially if you hear a gunfire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I have a friend that's writing a book about Vietnam. He's a school teacher, and he's also a therapist. And he's, Frank is just a wonderful guy, and he said this has been the hardest thing for him to do was write this book. About Vietnam, but he says it's helped him, you know. And you know something? He wouldn't take any help from the VA.
Yeah.
You know, and I said to him, you know, Frankie, you're entitled to that. You're entitled to all the help that you went through. You're entitled to that. So he finally went, and they gave him 80% disability. And, you know, I said, why would you think you're not entitled to it? He says, you don't know how bad they treated me when I come home. And I've heard that from so many different people that I knew that was in the Vietnam War, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember when they come home. It was nothing out there. There was no parade, just, you know, the tape coming down on Fifth Avenue in New York. And I mean, there was none of that, you know. None of that at all.
Yeah.
My father was in World War II. He was in the Army. And he would never, ever talk about it. But one time I went through his bureau, don't ask me why. I was a smart-ass kid, I guess. And I found some pictures.
Uh-huh.
And I said to him, Dad, what's this? And there were Japanese soldiers, and they had a pregnant woman hanging from the tree. You know, and they cut her stomach out.
Wow.
And threw the baby up on a baronet. They were so gross. I mean, I remember them so clearly. And my father took them and tore them up. You know. But he never, never would talk about it. And my father drank himself to death, Philip, because he couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
And he was considered a young man. You know. He was considered a young man.
Yeah, my uncle fought in the Battle of the Bulge and a couple of different other things. But when he came back he never wanted to talk about it. But I can remember growing up as a kid and sleeping over my aunt's house with my other cousins and stuff, and he would be screaming middle of the night. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, he's sitting up in bed hollering all kinds of stuff. And I mean, that was years after the war, you know. And I think with the older generation, they were taught that, you know, the whole manhood thing of you basically suck it up and you keep it to yourself and you continue to act like a man. And that was what I was referencing to before, that, you know, because society is very aware of the war, at least the vets have multiple resources they can reach out to if they can't get anywhere with, you know, the VA. versus what the old timers went through, you know, and are still going through.
Well, that's true. It was a different type of a fight. You know, you knew when you were going into battle, you knew what you were fighting. And just correct me if I'm wrong, Philip, you know, I don't pretend to be an expert on this, but I've been told that you didn't know what you were fighting in the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
No, and it's just like now we're in Afghanistan where we're training those guys, and then they turn and shoot our own guys, the guys that are training.
You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Look at what they did with the football player from the Patriots. Remember, he joined the service and went over to Iraq?
Oh, and then he died.
Yeah, do you remember that? That he died?
I do.
You know, from combat fighting, and it was our own people that killed him.
Yep.
I don't think that was the Patriots, though. I think that was the 49ers. It was a West Coast team.
Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. Well, all right.
He gave up a multi-million dollar contract to go
I mean, it was national, you know. I mean, it made, like, every football station and everything else. But, yeah, I'm a Patriots connoisseur. Look out.
Well, I'm not, you know.
Yeah, but the thing was
they catch the ball and they run from one end of the field to the next. That's all I know.
The sad thing was they made it public because he was a football player. He was a national football player. What about the ones
the thing that they
are
hid was
just regular people?
They just covered their ass. That's what they did. It wasn't because he was a hero. Covered their ass.
Because his own guys took him out.
I know.
Right. You know. They cut their ass, let's face it. They try to anyways.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the sad part sometimes, because what's this
right.
Room? Just to tell the truth. You know, when you ever saw that movie with Mel Gibson, where he was the colonel, and he was the first one to fight in Vietnam.
Oh, I remember that. That was a good movie.
And they had no idea what was going to happen, and all those taxis were bringing all the... Because they used to send them by taxi, the telegram.
Right.
And then his wife looked out the window and seen and went and told the cab company to make sure they sent them all to her first. And she would take care of it. Because they weren't prepared for that. They didn't know what to do.
They weren't trained right either.
No.
You know, they weren't. None of you guys were trained for what you were going in into, you know.
Well, no, later on, when I was doing it, we got trained a little better. And fortunately, I didn't have to do anything, but it was me. I didn't have to do anything out of the ordinary that wasn't my job. But it was just me and another guy. We'd get dropped somewhere, and we'd do our thing, and we'd get picked up.
Oh, how scary. How scary.
Trust me, the whole objective was not to be seen.
I'll tell you, thank God for you guys. I'm telling you. And so many people should be saying that today.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm waiting for, like I said, I'm waiting for I put up another one. I was going to go to, I'm waiting for two guys to call in, actually four guys, but I know two guys are having a meeting right now with someone, so.
Yeah, what is that that Bobby just posted up? Can we talk about that?
No, that was my next thing. It's mandatory tracking.
Okay.
Are being put in kids at two Texas schools, so the students revolted. And what Bobby said was, you don't hear much about the nanotech that include micro RFID chips administered to food or drink without detection. nanotech, and we also deployed the air. Pretty freaking scary stuff he wrote. But what it is I put the link in there, and they revolted against mandatory tracking chips.
Why are they placing them in children anyways? What are they tracking them for? What kind of school is this?
Let me explain something, Nora. You know when you go to the grocery store and you take your purse, pull out your credit card, you know that one, the express checkout where you just swipe everything through there?
Oh, I know.
Okay, well, to pay for it, you're just going to have to swipe your arm underneath it. It'll read the chip. You know, it'll deduct it from your bank account. That's where we're
That's
going.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. These are children.
But students and parents at two San Antonio schools are in revolt over a program that forces kids to wear RFID tracking name tags, which are used to pinpoint their location on campus as well as outside school premises. So students at the John Jay and Anson Jones Middle School will be mandated to wear the tags from today, which will be used to track them on campus as well as when they enter and leave the school. Andrea Hernandez is a leading group of students who refuse to wear the tags because, in her words, it makes me uncomfortable and it's an invasion of my privacy. But Hernandez is being backed by her parents and privacy experts like Dr. Catherine Albrecht, who point out that the spy chips are more about making money than keeping students safe at the school's. By reducing truancy and tardiness, the school stands to net $2 million in state funding. So, in other words, if you miss it, if you're absent, they don't get paid. It's just like me at work. If you're absent, you don't get paid unless prior arrangements were made.
You know something?
I got it. These. I have to have a friend to access.
Who's whispering? Who's whispering?
Sorry.
Somebody
that was
whispering.
Me. I didn't mean to whisper. Okay.
You're whispering.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Hi, about
Colin Secrets. Don't you feel left out, Phil?
No, that was at my house. I'm sorry, my bad. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. So, you know, there's a little, you know, your right hand, just put it over that little piece where you talk into the phone and we won't hear you, okay?
There's a mute button.
I will mute myself. I apologize.
I apologize. I thought it was funny.
I know, yeah, me too, but I know what's going to happen. She'll mute herself and forget to turn it back on.
I'm not blonde today. I'm brunette, so get over it.
Well, Hernandez thought that the system is all but useless because students will just leave their tag in their locker or hand it to a friend to avoid being monitored. Parents and students have rallied to organize a protest against the spy chips, which is said to take place today. They also fear that the RFID chips could be used to track students outside of school, a valid concern given past examples of how such technology has been abused by school officials. In 2010, in Lower Merion School District in Pennsylvania, they used school-issued laptops to spy on their kids in their own home. The controversy ignited after a student was disciplined for improper behavior at home. It turned out that school officials had installed software on the laptops that used the camera's webcam to send images back to the school server every 15 seconds. So basically, he was probably watching some porn and he set himself up and got caught. With a smartphone law. No.
Okay.
And also pointed out that sexual predators could use the tracking system to stalk children because the RFID tag continues to send a signal even after students have left school premises. With a smartphone, you can use the option to use your locator, but this I can't turn it off, Hernandez said. As reported earlier this week, similar programs where students are tracked both inside and outside school are already in operation across the country. I mean, the IDs I carry got our RFID chips in them for work.
Yeah, but that's different. You work on these. Okay, these are children. And so now they can be tracked with what they do at home? That's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
All right, I have some adults who act like children, trust me.
Well, of course, you know.
Like
sometimes you have people, sometimes we act like children on your show, but, you know, we get over it. Sorry.
It boils down to it is an invasion of privacy. You know, you figure a college campus or a high school as a whole, 90% of those kids are good kids. 10% aren't. And usually before the end of the year's up, they weed out, you know, who's doing what, et cetera, et cetera. The fact of the matter that they want to put a monitoring device on kids that's just like, you know, ankle bracelet and hold them accountable for their actions outside of school and make it a school issue is baloney. You know, how you conduct yourself on campus is, you know, the basic way to, you know, whether you're going to stay or you're going to go. But anything you do outside of that property line and outside of, you know, college activities, that's your own personal business. And
yeah, but you have kids with cell phones that tape fights, you know, and put them on YouTube or whatever you call it, you know, that fight thing.
Yeah.
And you have adults, you know, I call them adults, when they're over 18, 19, 20, and 21 years old, they're not children anymore. They're adults, and they know what they're doing, you know. They abuse, a lot of them abuse using a cell phone. You know, I've seen it. I mean, I've seen kids spend hours texting other people. I had my grandson over here, and he's texting his friends. I says, did you come to visit me, or did you come to text your friends? You know, do that when you're not with me. That's totally disrespectful, you know. But they do that. I mean, my grandsons are 22, 23. They're texting all the time. I mean, what do they get out of that? My poor fingers would be numb.
Yeah.
And that's when, no, really. They would. I mean, it's a safety net for some people, but, you know, suppose I was walking and somebody was going to attack me. I'm going to stop and text, or am I going to scream and call 911, you know?
Right.
I mean, really. So some of them abuse themselves.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I got off the freeway today with a California Highway Patrol, Mr. Safety, on the freeway, and some bitch was texting at the stoplight.
Unbelievable.
Then when the light turned green, he made a phone call and was talking while he was driving.
That's even better.
Yeah, I just looked at him and gave him the American High sign.
Yeah. With the middle one?
Yes, ma'am. And I wear white gloves so you can't miss it, because everything on the bike is black and I wear black. So I wear white gloves so you can't miss me.
Right. But it you know, there's pros and cons in everything, you know. I would love to put an ankle on kids that are under, you know, under 10 years old, you know, so I know where they are, you know.
Yeah. So who's got the fire truck driving by?
You know, I have my house closed up. That's why I cross street from my house. Sorry. I can't mute them. I can't mute the sirens.
I'm still not comfortable with the fact of kids wearing, you know, a monitoring device.
No, never mind.
Not in school. I mean,
you know, I don't go
for that either.
I understand safety factors and stuff, but just the simple fact of putting a monitoring device on them, and yeah, we're tracked through cell phones and other different things, but just the point of being forced to wear a monitoring device again, you know, that's what prisons do.
That's the federal government that is doing that. If
yeah.
each school wants federal programs in their schools.
Well, to get federal funds, they do it.
Yes, you know.
But I got a message. I got a message for Cecil from Heidi.
Oh God! Oh, hey, hi. Hey, Heidi, what's going on, man? I can't see what you're typing, but I know you're in that chat room.
Storms are brewing, but I didn't want to say hi to my darling Cecil before I lose the internet.
Oh my God, that is too funny.
And then Saturday I ran into Gus, and I had that picture in my hands, and it's awesome.
That painting is amazing. That man is something else. I was looking at some of his work, and I was just like stuck on stupid, you know, for a few minutes. You know, the mouth open, the drool coming out, the whole nine yards. Little beanie cap with a duh, you know. I was amazed. That man's, you know, artwork is unbelievable.
Hey, I'm here to tell you, he did a skateboard. He did small ones. He did big ones. He had a big. It looked like it was about 3x5. It was good shit. Really good shit.
Yeah. I know. I've talked to him, you know, a lot on the phone. And I have him do some for me of, like, my family members that passed, you know. So I think it would be cool. He does amazing work. I'm just so impressed. And I'm so happy for him. And I told him, I said, stick by Phil. All of a sudden, one day you're just yourself, Gustavo. And I said, and then the next, you know, poof, there you go. Off and gone.
All right.
You
know. Well,
hey,
let me say this real quick. Bobby. If you want to chime in on this one, go ahead and call in. He's trying to read my messages, but they're scrambling my chat.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Bobby, I can see what's going on.
And Bobby, you're going to have... I send you the link for Fran's pics because for some reason I can't download the pics from my camera. I'm trying to get it fixed right now, but as soon as I can get that taken care of, I'll send you those pics. But according to Obamacare, all Americans will receive a microchip implant in their 2013.
Well, that's for people that don't have insurance, correct?
It says all Americans.
Put no goddamn chip in me. They're going to have to take me shackled. Ain't nobody putting that shit in me. I'm all set. I will take off to the mountains. I will live like Grizzly Adams. That's it. Straight up.
Okay, so what happens if you disagree with the chipping, if you don't approve of it?
You run to the mountains.
Probably end up in jail.
They're going to put your ass away is what they're going to do. They're going to make examples of people. That's what they're going to do to get this done.
Well,
yeah.
See, what people don't understand is when you do stuff on the computer, a lot of people are leery about doing all their, but because they download that app, when you download that app, everybody gets a copy of your financial status.
Download what app?
From your bank. When you download.
Oh, I don't do that.
I'm telling you, people do it, and like I already even said the same thing, chipped and access to you. So they can see where you spend your money and what you do. Just like when you swipe your card, when you go to the grocery store, same thing.
I already knew about that, but what I find ridiculous is what they're doing in the school in Texas, and then knowing that if you get new appliances, it's already they're going to be hot appliances. You're privacy in your own home. What, are they afraid if you're going to jerk off the wrong way or something? They want to see it? I don't know. What the hell is their deal?
Well, how can they see it if you don't have that attachment?
No. They're talking about now when you get new appliances installed in your home, these devices are in the appliance, so they know what you're doing in your home.
Well, mine's down in the cellar, and it's too cold in the wintertime, so.
Yeah,
I can rest assured that there's no sex down there. There's none up here, so.
I just just got to...
No, but you understand what I'm saying. I just
I know.
Mean,
I'm
no,
just trying to make
it,
a joke.
It's just a call. Oh, no, you're funny. I wanted to laugh, but I didn't want to be rude. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But,
laugh. It's, you know.
I just
but
gotta,
it's just ridiculous, a privacy issue, you know? I mean, they have to hear and know everything. I find it ridiculous. I never thought, you know, being a kid, I would grow up in a society where they have to hear everything you do. They want to see everything you do. Why? What? For what?
They probably get off on it, you know.
I don't know, but
they
I just got a text from Emilio.
Okay.
He's stuck in a meeting and he won't be out till late, which will be after the show. So he's gonna call in Thursday instead.
Okay.
But yeah, he just. Because he told me earlier today, he probably just let him know, and I did. And if everything was cool, he would be here. But he got stuck in a meeting.
Hey Phil, I got to tell you this story talking about privacy. Down in Century Village, right now, you know, it's a retirement community.
Okay.
When we first bought in there, I was like 48 years old, 49. Yeah, 49. So I was up on the second floor, so one night I caught this guy across the parking lot with a pair of binoculars, you know, looking into my condo like I'm on the porch. So I said, you know something, this guy's about 90 years old, I think I'm going to give him a fucking heart attack. So I go in, I get all undressed, wrap a towel around me, and I go out on the patio, and I take the towel off. And I yell across at him, is your heart beating hard yet? And the poor guy, about 10 minutes later, true story, I was like, God, the ambulance was there. My body was so bad, it scared the shit out of him.
Whoa.
True story, honest to God, true story.
You know, Stacey, I can see this is you. They're gonna have to handcuff you and take you away and everything, right?
Yeah.
So they handcuff you and they said anything you say can and will be used to, anything you say can and will be used against you, will be held against you. So
yeah.
So you said Charlie Hune and Jax from the Sons of Anarchy.
I said, what?
Oh, they handcuffed you and said anything you say can and will be held against you. But you said Charlie Hune, Jax from the Sons of Anarchy.
She still doesn't get it, Phil.
No, she doesn't.
No. Nope.
Lights are on, but nobody's home.
He's blind tonight. It's not me.
No, I don't get the punchline to that.
Anything you say can and will be held against you.
Oh, held. Oh, held. Oh, okay.
Put down the pipe.
Oh.
And how old are you, Stacey?
43.
Oh, God. Oh.
You know, somebody asked...
smoking on the show.
Yeah, somebody made the comment the other day that if I didn't put my hair in a ponytail and walked around with it just blowing in the breeze, I'd look 30 years old. And I told him, hey, you better get that shit you're taking checked.
I tried that once, Phil.
I still haven't seen that you have long hair because you always do a front shot. You never do a back shot where anybody can see that you have
long hair. You're paying attention
hair.
Because when I was up in San Bernardino at the clubhouse, I had my hair down and everybody took pictures. You weren't paying attention.
Yeah,
where are these pictures?
I've seen it.
Yep.
I didn't. Where the hell was I? Wait, what day was that on?
you have Stacey, you didn't share any of this with Nora, did you?
Huh?
I said you didn't share any of that stuff in the pipe you got with Nora, did you?
I don't do that crap.
Wait, let's get one thing straight. I don't smoke a pipe.
That's right. You sent me pictures in the papers. I like that chocolate sundae, though. That was cool.
I had looked at the quote earlier.
Yeah, I used to get the...
Oh, my God. You guys are killing me. Oh, my God.
But,
I tried it once on Thanksgiving, and I held the refrigerator door open and didn't know what the hell I was in there for. My kid says, "You got a coat hanger smile, Ma." I mean, I was zapped. Come on,
yeah.
Just try it once, Ma, you know?
Yeah.
And I says, "Okay."
Well, when I was about 15, I came home with what we called back in those days, we called it a lid. It was like $20. And me and a buddy smoked some shit on the way to the house, and then I ate and I lay down on the couch and I set the bag on the end table. And needless to say, my old man was about 6'4", about 275 pounds. And I got woke up getting fresh ones. And then he walked me into the bathroom and said, "How many days did you work for this?" And I said, "2. And he said, "Really? Watch this." And he flushed it down the toilet.
Uh-huh.
Hello.
I found it on my son one time.
Yeah.
He's 41 now, you know, so he, I says, "What's this, Mark?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm holding it for a friend of mine." I says, "Oh, really?" He says, "Yeah." I says, "Well, guess what? Your friend doesn't have it anymore." You know. But I used to control him. He's 6'5".
Wow.
Right? He's 6'5". And at 14, he was, I'd say, 6'3". And he come in. And he had a couple of beers.
Wait.
So I thought I'd teach him how to drink. So at that time, I was drinking vodka, you know. So I sat him down. Yeah. Let's do shot for shot. He turned green about the fifth one, you know.
Right.
1, 3, 4, 7.
I told him, "I don't care how big you are. If I can't do it, I'll find somebody that can."
Now, Phil should be muted.
He's
I can hear him.
Yeah, I know.
I just whispered.
He should just whisper like you were doing, and then we can, you know, dog on him some more.
Yeah.
Wait till he comes back.
I'm here.
Who are you talking to, Phil?
Yeah,
you should have been muted.
Who are you talking to?
Hold on 1 second, ladies. It's 3-4. It's 7. 7753.
Remember, Phil, cover the mouthpiece.
That was someone who's been trying to call the show, and she thinks she did it wrong. And she's called like 3 times, and I just noticed that it was her again to the call. Because I thought it was Emilio calling me because it popped up, but he was the third one down. But no, it's like shit going on here now. I had I'll share this with you guys the other day. I was at that party, and I was talking to a guy. What happened was we have the Harley swap meet once a month in Long Beach. And this lieutenant from the Long Beach Police Department, he pulled up on his bagger and he went into the show and he was walking around and he came out and his bags were gone. They stole them off his bike.
Oh, Jesus.
And they found out that somebody walked back in and sold them inside, but they emptied the contents, Lord knows where, But this guy happened to be a lieutenant, and in the bag, in the one bag, was his badge and his gun.
Oh no!
So now they're running all over California looking for the saddlebags, which probably won't have the gun or the badge in it, but they got an alert out for that.
Wow.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's not good at all.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second, guys.
Okay. Where are we holding on to?
Is that you, Loretta?
Yeah, hi. Is it Philip?
Yes. You're talking to, you're going to say hello to Nora, Stacy, and Eunice.
Hello,
this is
Nora.
This is a friend of mine, Loretta.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Great.
We're doing
great.
Good.
She was nervous, so if you guys would explain to her that it's just like having a conversation on the phone, there's no need to be nervous.
There's nothing to be nervous about.
I know, but it is a motorcycle show, and I don't know a whole lot about motorcycles other than I think they're cool.
Neither do
and
I.
Like...
You can talk
really?
About anything. It's not just strictly motorcycles.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, good. Well, I'm glad, Philip. Aren't you proud of me? I said I would call someday, and I did.
Absolutely. But what happened was I was going to have a special guest tonight, but he got stuck in a movie meeting, and he's going to call back in Thursday, but he let me know. But what we were going to talk about, what we started out was what not to say to wounded warriors.
Oh,
and then we went to microchips in Texas. They're putting the kids in grammar school. And I was going to go to another topic, but I'm waiting for another guy by the name of Philip to call in. We're going to talk about the Down syndrome run I have on Sunday in Fullerton, California. It's for a little boy by the name of Zach.
Uh-huh.
And,
all very, very good topics to talk about. So you do talk about other things than just motorcycle riding. I wasn't sure.
No, it's just like I told you. I think I told you that one time, Loretta, when you were having that little problem, and I said, "Well, if you want me to call the guy on the air and straighten him out, I could do that for you." Because I'm known to do that.
He's very protective of his women.
Ah, Philip, you're great. You really are. Well,
I had lots of girls. We're very protective of Philip too, you know.
Oh, well, that's very good. So,
I actually have a picture of me and Loretta sharing a root beer float.
Isn't that the best picture ever? I think that he was shoving ice cream down my throat just about 5 seconds before that picture was taken. Do you remember that, Philip?
Yeah, but actually I said, open up here, have a bite.
I love that picture. I love it. I downloaded it and put it in one of my albums.
Cool.
Actually, it's two pictures, two shots. I love it. Well, listen, I want to hang up. It's nice talking to the ladies. Stacy, are you in Costco?
Am I in where?
Maybe not. Stacy's saying, no, I guess maybe it's a different Stacy. Well, anyway, it was nice to meet you guys.
No, it's the same Stacy. It's the same Stacy.
So you are in Coffee Crew. Okay. All right. Well, it's nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you, too.
What I'd like to tell you guys is between Nora, Stacy, and Loretta, we all know the same people, and we all are in the same circles.
Yeah, sort of. I don't think I know as many people but I'm happy to know you and Bernie and Bill. Is Bill there?
Yeah. No, Bill, no, not on Tuesdays now. He's got a different schedule on Tuesdays because he takes his mom and his wife to the doctor on Tuesdays, and then on Fridays he takes them again. But he'll be here Thursday.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, Philip, I wanted to tell you that that one post, I love your posts. They're all real cute. Some of them are naughty, and a lot of them are very patriotic, and I appreciate all of them. But I tell you, the last post that you put up, the one that I think I sent you a private message on how something, I'll paraphrase it, something like a person's character is really revealed through their actions, not just their words. And I really like that because it's so true. And then I think I wrote, oh yeah, I didn't send, I put it right on, I didn't send a private message. I said, you know, I was feeling really bad because I had been telling you a lot that I would call into the show, but then I wouldn't. It wasn't that I didn't want to. It was just, I don't know, I just was nervous. And it really made me think about, well, you know, I'm not so nervous now, actually. Okay. I'm chattering, aren't I? Well,
don't be nervous because 40 people in 42 countries and around the world are listening to you talk right now, but don't be nervous.
Yeah, thanks. No, but what I'm saying is really it is very true, and it really made me think. It made me think a lot. I thought that he's really right because I thought to myself, not really, I didn't think about anybody else and if other people followed through, but I thought about myself, and I thought, well, do you do that? Because I so agreed, you know, I asked myself, Loretta, do you do this? And I thought, well, you know, I tell Philip all the time, oh, I'm going to call, but then I don't. But it wasn't that I didn't want to. It was that I was just so nervous. But it makes me kind of realize that you shouldn't let your fears prevent you from doing the things that you want to do. So,
no, you shouldn't.
I wanted to share that with you, Philip, because I love that post. Especially love that. It was very meaningful to me. Very, very meaningful. Because people can talk. Can you swear on the radio show?
You can say anything you want here, sweetheart.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wasn't sure. Well, you know, people can just boast and say they're going to do all kinds of things, but it's really meaningless unless they really act upon it and do it, you know? So anyway, so I'm really happy that I called. But I want to hang up now, if you don't mind, okay?
Glad you did, and I hope you do more.
Loretta.
It's nice meeting you guys, ladies.
Same here.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, Philip. I love you. I mean,
I love you.
As a friend, of course. Okay, sweetie pie. Bye-bye.
Hello. Yeah, we lost, I think Eunice might have got a phone call, but we lost her for right now. But no, Loretta's a really nice lady.
She's on
yeah, TV. I met her from, she's a friend of Andy's, and I that's how I met her.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just got another message. I did. I can only hear him talking. Is he on a TV show? Yes, he is. But, so what's going on your neck of the woods now? How's the, you said it was raining. You got any thunder and lightning?
No, not yet, but it's in the forecast for a possibility of later. But it's just been raining all day. It's just been a blah type of day.
That's from Hurricane Isaac, because we got the rain here, too, and moved out your way.
Yeah, Flea is, Carolyn, who called in from Bermuda, she's sitting on the verge of a big storm getting ready to pass over the island,
yeah.
The tropical depression.
Yeah, it's just, it's, you know, so many people are afraid to call. They say they like to call the show, but they're afraid. And I'm like, what are you afraid of? It's like talking to me on the phone, because basically that's what you're doing anyway.
Right.
It's like if you call the regular radio station, you'd be talking to the guy on the phone.
Yeah, except they're not as friendly.
yeah, that's is true. Unless if you know them.
Yeah.
But, No, and then we're going to have a bunch of people. I'm going to a premiere Saturday, and then two. And one is for a new magazine by Easy Rider called Wrench, and there's a couple other things going on that I can't. I'm sworn to secrecy until I get the okay. But it's all good.
It's okay. We understand your celebrity status.
Yeah, I know. And if I let the cat out of the bag, I won't get asked any or told anything anymore. That's all. I respect their wishes. But no, the thing with Emilio, yeah, he's doing. He's got some kind of a meeting. I think it's about a movie or some kind of show or something. He's in. He wrote back. He just sent me another one. Said he's sorry, but he'll be here Thursday for sure.
Cool.
So what else? Anybody got any burning desires?
Oh, there's always something. It's just, do we really want to speak our minds?
Go for it.
Not today.
Hey, what are you afraid of?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
Don't ever be afraid.
Where's Fran?
Fran,
yeah,
I talked to her
earlier
today. She was doing something, and then she was taking a look in the back because she has a bunch of school supplies for young kids.
Okay.
And she's getting that together so I can make a donation to the orphanage, and I'm probably gonna make it in her husband's name.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's
almost. The sad part is it's almost a year. Next,
it's gonna be hard on her, you know.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens from there. But I told her we were on tonight, and she was doing something, but we'll see what happens. If she gets a chance to call in.
I understand.
How's Bill?
Yeah, how's
Bill's doing okay. He's I seen him today. We got some kind of disturbing news, but we got it verified. And then somebody else came down and talked to him today and told him part of it's true and part of it's not. And so we want to make sure I'll see the person that I need to talk to this week. And then I talked to, and just so you know, Stacy, I talked to Rusty.
Yeah.
Fixed that little problem.
Awesome.
Oh, so you told her.
Well, yeah, I told her because I didn't want her to be, you know. This one thing you got to understand, okay? I am very honest.
I know that. I wasn't saying anything bad.
Yeah, no, we were, it's like when I sent you that picture, Nora, was to tell you that I made a mistake and I didn't want you to stand there and look, go, why did he make me two?
I never thought that. You assumed, and that made you look like an ass for that minute because I didn't assume that. The only thing I thought was, oh, my God, what happened with Stacy's?
Hey,
I was expecting to see mine and Stacy.
Wait.
Me and me, huh?
Did you just try and give me a fresh one?
Did you like it? I've been a real bitch all day today. I don't think you want me to really speak my mind today. It's not the time.
You need a hug?
No, actually, I need to not be around stupid people. But I dealt with stupid people for 3 hours on the phone today. And then I heard another stupid person, a two-faced one to boot. And I didn't mean to bite you like that. But unfortunately, the last person I just heard was like, wow. But I have to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll be in private for a different time, you know?
Sure.
I was told to be nice.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be nice because I told you one of these days they might just knock on the door. When you open the door, I'm going to bend you over and spank you.
Yeah. You and what, Army? I don't even believe it. You're so full of smoke up your ass, it's not even funny. See, that's what happens when you smoke too much. It's coming out of your ass now.
Oh my God.
I don't like that smell. Blow it someplace else.
No, when I see that picture, said back to Phil, I was like, what the fuck? Did you forget my name? That's exactly what I said to him.
No, he was just busy, you know. No, he was just busy. And the weird thing was he sent me the picture. I'm like, wow, nice. Thank you. You know, because I knew the one was for me. And I'm like, whoa. I'm thinking, what the hell just happened there?
Well, don't feel bad. We were talking, and he signed them, and then I went to, I walked out and put them in my saddlebag, and I didn't look at them until I got to Bill's.
Well, the funny thing is, too, Stacy, you know, Rusty actually thought it was funny seeing that picture of me in his in those pants on his wall. But nobody would comment, you know. Because anybody I talked to, they were like, it looks so ridiculous. There's no words even.
Oh, I think it's funny.
Come on, 1 second. Hello, 626. 626, did you want to talk or just listen?
Is this me?
Yeah, it's you.
Okay.
Gustavo! Hi,
Nora! Hi,
how
everybody.
How are you? I'm fine.
Oh, my. No, the reason I wanted to call in is because I want to say.
You have enchiladas.
I want to send so much love to Philip, for sure, because what he did on Saturday, and he came over and said hi, and I just couldn't believe that. In my heart, that's a true friend, you know?
Of course.
Even told him why I carry a hammer on top of my saddlebag.
And I figured the hammer was for the wife, you know, just to keep her in line.
Yeah, right.
He would use a feather for his wife, not a hammer.
But
he might use a hammer on him.
What he did, and I mean, the ride he took just to come and see me and see his painting, I was like, I mean, I just had to call in and say hi and thank you so much, you know, for mentioning me as well. I mean, that just makes my life like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, if anybody's interested, you can check out those pics on the blog.
No, thank you so much. I've been
by Gustavo, and his link is there to get a hold of him if you'd like him to do something for you.
And I wanted to say also hi to Nora. I keep listening to her, and I go, I told you I wanted to call you.
I know, and I said before the show, but it could have been after the show, like we've done before. No big deal.
Well,
but it's okay.
I'm
glad you're here.
I'm sorry.
No, I said, it's okay. I'm glad you're here.
Oh, okay. And then I was listening to what you guys were talking about, service people, because I was in the service. I was in the Navy in 1981.
Well, thank you for your service.
But I went the whole 3 years and a half, and my dumbass got caught before I joined. During my service time, and then right 3.5 years, right on before 6 months before I got discharged, I got caught smoking pot.
And
to this day, I kind of regret it because I don't have the benefits. I guess I'm not sure. I wanted to ask Philip if I do have benefits.
Yeah, you have benefits
because I did get other than honorable.
Well, you have some, and you can get that upgraded too. You can go on the website.
Really?
It's out of Kansas City.
Right.
And you can request an upgrade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that because, I mean, as I get older and older, I'm thinking, does this still thing benefit me? You know? And to this day, I still regret. I was in Norfolk, Virginia. In the shipyard, and I had decided to go out into town and buy a bag. I was a guy that bought the weed, you know what I mean? And I snuck it into the base, and I decided to go smoke in the back of the aircraft carrier because I was 6 months sea duty. And I was smoking back there, and I remember it to this day like today, and I was like, I'll never forget this day, you know, puffing away. I was like, wow. That was just a story I wanted to say.
I had about 2 years ago, I was coming up over to Fantown in the back of the ship, and you're allowed to smoke up on the back there. And smoking with another guy, we were talking, and the girl that was on watch came up the stairs, walked over and asked me for a cigarette. So I handed her the pack, and she handed me the rifle. And
wow.
I wouldn't give it back to her.
What do you mean, the rifle?
Yeah, I didn't give it back to her. I made her go get the sergeant of the guard.
Oh, wow.
Then when I handed it back to him, I cleared it, checked it out, handed it to him like you're supposed to. And he looked at me and he goes, oh. And then he saw the Marine sticker on the top of my hard hat. So he's like, oh, okay, now I know what's going on. And then I turned to the girl and I said, what's the first thing they taught you in boot camp about that weapon?
Right.
You never surrender your weapon.
Exactly. Well, I was in the Navy, so I don't know. It was, I guess, it was still hard, but it wasn't as tough as a Marine. You know?
Yeah.
Marines go through some serious shit, right, Phil?
Oh, yeah. For in a day. To this day, I still carry myself like I'm on active duty.
Really? Wow, just as you were talking about military people and all that, it just kind of brought me back to where, wow, it seems like, well, it is 30 years ago. You know, I'm 49, and it seems like a lifetime ago. Like that kid should have started painting back then. You know, my life would have been so much different, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes when you realize your mistakes,
right.
you can't do it all in one day. You just got to take it one day at a time.
Right. And right now it's like every day is I enjoy every minute of my, even if I'm locked up in here just painting all day, I mean, I love it, you know? I just love it. And like I said, I should have done this 30 years ago. And the things I would have came up with, well, 30 years ago, I was just doing black and white, just pencil. And it was nice. It's nice, but it's not like what I'm doing now. And I thank God that I met you, Philip, for sure. But the thing you did just to come over Saturday and say hi, yeah, and your wife as well. I mean, she was beautiful. I mean, it's unbelievable. Nobody has ever done that for me, you know.
No, he was kind of when he went outside with us and we walked to the bikes. Kind of freaked out because he thought she rode up there on the back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And she had her own bike. And that's impressive as enough as it is, a woman riding a bike. You know, it's I can't wait to ride with you one day. I hope to God, I hope to God I ride one day with you.
Once we get things rolling for you, we'll hook that up.
Well, I mean, that's just, I just wanted to say hi. I wanted to say thank you for showing up. I wasn't expecting it whatsoever. I mean, I was like, well, I didn't know exactly where you are or where you're from. But when you told me you're coming from Oceanside, correct?
Yeah.
I said, wow, that's amazing. And to talk, I mean, to speak with Nora, I speak with her when I can. You know, I'm just hard at work here trying to lock myself in and do some more work. And hopefully I can surprise you guys in the coming week.
Oh, I know you will. I know you will. I believe in you.
Oh, wait till you see my new stuff.
I can't wait.
And thank you so much, Philip. I want to let you guys go because I got to get back to work.
Okay, okay, man.
That's okay. You're welcome.
And I'll see you Sunday.
Okay,
and
Saturday,
I will
right?
And talk to you soon.
Oh, Sunday.
Monday.
Okay, thank you guys, and have a good night.
You're welcome,
night.
And you too.
Bye-bye.
Talk soon. Bye.
So, I think it's time for a song. And I'm going to dedicate this one to you, Nora.
Oh, thanks. That's got to be a fuck you song or something.
No, you'll like this one.
Okay.
This is one of my... I'll let the song tell the story, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Let me play one. Let me play one of Mike's one of his tracks. Stand by. Hold on. This is called Spice. I mean, not very radio friendly by terrestrial standards. It's called Give a Fuck. It's called Big Mike P, ladies and gentlemen. The 818. It's called Give a Fuck. Well, it's not really rap. It's kind of like Southern rock slash rap. I like it. It's like,
this doesn't kick in. It hasn't kicked in yet. When it kicks in,
like
he
it.
Gets after it.
But I like it. I mean, it's got kind of a, you know.
Hey, homie. Hey, speed this motherfucker up so I can spit some crazy rap shit to this shit.
I don't give a fuck. Fresh out of jail, jump on my jumper with my tracks like fish tails rolling. In the wind, I be blowing. Bitches on my socks, on my stickers when they hold it. Big ballin', money stay growing. Sitting hard as fuck for the title that I'm holding. Fuck with me, and you know you're getting faded. Baby mama tripping because my pad just got raided. Oh well, I still don't give a fuck. I'm a squirrel in the world trying to bust a nut. So fuck yeah, motherfucker, keep on bailing. Gangsters, what the fuck they yelling? My lady think I'm crazy, but hey, that's cool. I've been fucking up friends for like a year or two. Mike, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper, jump, jump on my chopper. Jump on my chopper with the drag pipe this tail. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper, jump, jump on my chopper. Jump on my chopper with the drag pipe this tail. Back up. Give me 50 feet before I have to knock your ass out in the street. My colors, my colors, my colors, my all. With the colors upon me, one soldier's hands fall. Tell me, what have you left me? What have I got? Last night my big homie got shot. Motherfucker, get back. It's time for some action. No fist fight. Strictly rap packing. Taking up on any motherfucker who's asking. I got the blunder so you know I'm straight blasting. Trouble, chaos, no pity. I grew up in the ghetto so my attitude is shitty. Some motherfucker don't say I didn't warn ya. Crazy motherfucker coming straight out of a coima. God damn, that's just how it is. A bad motherfucker know the handle of his mic. I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper, jump, jump on my chopper. Jump on my chopper with the drag pipe this tail. I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper, jump, jump on my chopper. Jump on my chopper with the drag pipe this tail. High bars, low rider cars. Neighborhood star at the neighborhood bar. Some say I'm crazy, but hey, that don't faze me. Maybe that's the reason five bitches want my baby. Mike P, living straight raw, bad to the bone, I'm a rebel with a cause. Summertime, motherfuckers hit the bleeding. Hotter than a motherfucker, good enough reason. Eyes wide open for the punk ass cops. Especially the ones with no lights on the top. Hit the throttle, let the clutch straight pop. Do a little willy when I burn, I'm a spot. They yell at danger, beware if you enter. It's just another day with this crazy 1% of my crew. I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper, jump, jump on my chopper. Jump on my chopper with the drag pipe this tail. I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper, jump, jump on my chopper.
All right. So, what else? How's your son doing? How's your mom and dad doing, Stacy?
There's really no change. There's, you know, we're kind of like sitting at a standstill when it comes to my mom. We're going to Boston this week, which is going to be lengthy as well as costly. My son, that's a joke too, from one school department to the place that he's going, have conveniently lost his paperwork. So he's kind of sitting idle at the moment till they can find that. And my grandmother, that's just day by day, you know, that's something that can't be changed. And pretty much that's my world right at this moment.
Well, I hope everything takes a turn for the better.
Yeah, I hope so too.
What's going on in your agenda, Nora? Who's pissing you off now? Besides me.
You don't piss me off. Okay. I just like laughing at you and razzing you. Because you're funny. You know how to take it and sling it right back. Most people don't.
Yeah. Well, if you're gonna play on the porch with the big dogs, bring your A game.
Well, yep. You know what? I don't stay on the porch. I don't have a problem rolling with the big boys because I know how to handle it. The big dogs, whatever you want to call them.
That's cool.
You don't know how to handle it, you don't go near it.
Yeah, if you can't do it, don't do it.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Yes?
You know... I know, right? Do you realize, Stacy,
yes,
somebody is getting closer to your states and playing their music that you've been asking to get to your state to play?
Oh, really?
They're gonna, yeah.
Yeah, who's that?
When is it? Saturday.
Yeah.
Somebody's band.
Yeah.
Is going to be that we know of.
Yeah, who's that?
What about the CDs?
Yeah.
It's going to be in Indianapolis on Saturday.
That's 23 hours away from me.
Yeah, and it's like 3 hours away from me.
Oh, well, you go and tell me how that goes.
Yeah, okay. No, a guy on my page is going to go see him.
Oh, no kidding.
It's a huge concert, and they're playing there. Hell, fucking yeah.
That's awesome.
If you want to tell everybody who you're talking about.
Etika 7.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be in Indianapolis on Saturday.
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I put an invitation out there like a long-ass time ago. That would be wicked ass to meet. Oh, yeah. If he was ever in town, stop by. I'll make dinner. Well, that won't. That'll be busy. But it was a cool thought. Wow.
What?
I didn't know until just a couple seconds ago. Because I posted up a link on my wall, and a guy on my page, he's like, I'm going to go see him Saturday. I'm like, where? And he finally answered back. I'm like, sweet.
Yeah. There's a...
Maybe he's slowly edging his way to your state, Stacy.
Well, yeah, they're doing that.
He's heading that way.
They, you know, it's funny because good bands will come all the way to the East Coast and they forget New England exists. They, like, will go to New Jersey, go to Pennsylvania, and it's like, dude, travel about 6 to 10 hours southeast.
More.
And to the northeast from the Jersey, PA area. And,
yeah.
Oh, hit up Massachusetts, you know, hit up Rhode Island,
and these bands just don't do it.
All right. Well, a lot of them hit Chicago because Chicago is big. They always draw somebody. You know. But damn, they'll be cruising right through. Oof.
Yeah, and
are they driving or flying? No, it doesn't matter. You're still gonna go poof right through. Wave, do the wave.
Yeah, but no, there's a lot of good stuff that's coming their way. And when I had lunch with Rusty the other day, he told me a bunch of stuff, but. Like I said, I gotta let him do the advertising first.
No. Like I said, I just think it's cool. If it, like I said, if it wasn't for this guy on my page, I wouldn't have even known. You know. But like I said, I think it's great. You know.
Mm-hmm.
He's come so far. You know, and the more they get out there, the bigger they're gonna get. You know, they're gonna get big. You know, their music is just awesome. So, kudos. Big kudos.
Yeah, as a matter
of
fact.
That is one busy person.
Have you guys ever heard Bill's favorite Attica song?
No.
Okay, let me do that.
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Eunice, you're unmuted. We'll talk to you right after the song.
Oh, Into the Blackness. This is an excellent song.
War!
Yeah, that was War by Attica 7.
Yeah, at first I thought it was Into the Blackness. My mistake. That is an excellent song right there.
What else is going on?
Not much, kids, you.
The kids have gone back to school, some of the counties over here.
So it's a quiet day or what?
Yeah, 5 days a week. You know, the school buses are out in operation. You got to keep your eyes out for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of stuff, like the local farms and stuff, they are beginning to bring apples in, and all kinds of hints of fall are popping up around New England. This is a cool time of year to be out here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you don't get pretty leaves, do you?
Who, me? No, it's sometimes it gets so hot out here, even the lizards wear tennis shoes.
Yeah, they don't get the fall colors like we do. I know.
Yeah. I have to have my fall and I have to have my snow, man. I love the snow. You get old.
Yeah, I love the snow. I make snowballs in the wintertime so I can have them in the summertime.
It's a lot of work, but I love it. I wouldn't change anything about the seasons to the New England.
Neither
area.
Would I.
Awesome.
Neither would I. I enjoy all the different seasons. If it was just like this all year long, oh my God, I'd be sick of it. Yeah, you can tell from where we're at. We enjoy our different seasons. It's not like you guys. 50 degrees is cold, really.
No, that's when Bill breaks out his Pendleton.
Oh, my God.
See, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah, but
Stacy and I were out there during 50-degree weather. We'd be out there in T-shirt and jeans. You know, hey, what the hell?
Yeah, when Flea came up for a visit, like, you know, a week or so ago, and she was freezing at night. She was like, oh, my God, it's chilly. I'm like, that's because you live on an island that's warm.
Yeah, I know. But she has warm all year long, doesn't she?
Well, not according to her, you know. According to her, there is a cold season down there.
Right.
Probably what we would consider very comfortable.
Wow.
And, you know, the cool thing about living in New England is, you know, you've got the ocean, you have the mountains, you have a lot of historical homes and sites and different things like that, and Halloween jumps off, and, you know, Salem gets hopping with all different kinds of festivities in honor of the Salem witches, and, you know, it just kind of rolls into things. The holidays are cool over here. There's just a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's sometimes it all depends on where we're at and what we're doing. You know, like the end of the month, I'm going to Vegas.
Nice.
Nice.
Why?
No, I said
nice.
Oh.
We said it at the same time.
No, it's the Vegas Bike Fest. So Las Vegas Metro PD is busting balls on anybody that wears anything. So you know me, I'm up to a challenge.
Oh, boy, don't get in trouble.
Yeah,
no.
Don't get another ticket from Homeland Security.
No. Why would I do that?
I don't know, for kicks. So you have a matching set.
Yeah.
The frame.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm looking at that one right here. It's in an 8x11.5 frame now.
Wow. something to be proud of.
Absolutely. So, but if anybody else got a burning desire, or they want to just vent, the number is 347-826-7753. So, Eunice, what happened to you? You disappeared.
Well, the husband come home, and I had to give him a few messages, and then I had to go in and powder my nose. You know, us women have to do that once in a while.
Okay, I thought you had to, you were getting out a towel to show the other neighbor something.
No. So I figured I'd go say hello to him.
Uh-huh.
And that I didn't go to supper, so.
Did you say you didn't make his supper?
No. He wanted to go out to eat, and I said no, because I had to listen to you guys' show.
Oh, okay.
So he just come in. He had a meeting he had to go to after, so he went to his meeting, and he come in while I was talking to you guys, so I figured I'd, you know, just take a little break and go in and powder my nose, and that's what I did.
Okay.
So, listen. In the photo, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, in the photo that you just posted, why are you being pointed at?
Because Rusty said put the little guy in the middle.
At least he has a smile on his face. Everybody except you.
Well, because he said, I was smiling until he said put the little guy in the middle.
Well, they pick on you, Phil. That's it.
Huh?
They pick on you.
Yeah.
Well, they call me the little guy with big balls.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll have to check those pants out.
It's more of an attitude thing, Eunice.
I know that. I was just pulling you.
Oh, pull on anything.
That's okay. So
just
we have bigger balls than you. We just wear ours up higher so it prevents from chafing.
Jesus, they took mine out years ago. I remember saying to the doctor when he was going to give me a B&C and they were talking about playing golf, I said, remember, this isn't the 19th hole you're playing with. Put her under.
Oh, man.
Said. Put her under.
Mark
her out.
See, Phil, you never know what we're going to say.
Oh,
the flow.
I know.
Well, you know, I got a joke for you guys. Let me dig it up here.
Okay. Is it funny?
Oh, dude. Listen to you.
Dirty?
Yeah.
I want to know if it's dirty.
Well, you know what, Eunice? You've never heard my pocket taser stun gun, have you? You never heard that joke. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta listen
God.
To this. Stacey will probably start laughing before I even read it.
Stop.
This is called the pocket taser stun gun. Just try reading this.
Okay, you win. I laughed. I didn't even get started.
You guys gotta hold your. You gotta hold your own. So Eunice can hear this.
Okay.
All right. If you want, I'll mute you till I'm done.
No, it's okay. I'll be fine.
Okay. Eunice, this is called the pocket taser stun gun. It's a great gift for the wife.
Okay.
The guy who purchased this for his lovely wife, a pocket taser for their anniversary, submitted this. He said, last weekend I saw something at Larry's Pistol and Pawn Shop that sparked my interest. The occasion was our 15th wedding anniversary, and I was looking for a little something extra for my wife, Julie, when I came across a 100,000-volt pocket-sized, purse-sized taser. The effects of the taser were supposed to be short-lived with no long-term adverse effect on your assailant, allowing her adequate time to retreat to safety. Way too cool. Long story short, he bought the device and he brought it home. He loaded it with two AAA batteries in the damn thing and pushed the button. Nothing. He's disappointed. He learned later, however, that if I pushed the button and pressed it against a metal surface at the same time, he'd get a blue arc of electricity darting back and forth between the prongs. Awesome. But unfortunately, he has yet to explain to Julie why there's a burn spot on the face of the microwave. Okay, so he was home alone with his new toy, thinking to himself that it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries, right? There he sat in his recliner, his cat Gracie looking on intently, trusting little soul, while I was reading the directions and thinking that I really needed to try this thing out in a flesh and blood moving target. I must admit I thought about zapping Gracie for a fraction of a second, and then thought better of it. She's such a sweet cat. But if I was going to give this thing to my wife to protect herself against a mugger, I wanted some assurance that it would work as advertised. Was he wrong? There he sat in a chair, in a pair of shorts and a tank top with reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of his nose. Directions in one hand, taser in the other. Directions said that a one-second burst would shock and disorient your assailant. A two-second burst was supposed to cause muscle spasms and major loss of bodily control. And a three-second burst would purportedly make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water. Any burst longer than 3 seconds would be wasting the batteries. So all the while, he's looking at this little device, measuring 5 inches long, less than three-quarters of an inch in circumference, loaded with two itsy-bitsy AAA batteries. Pretty cute, really. And thinking to myself, no possible way. What happened next is almost beyond description, but I'll do my best. I'm sitting there alone, Gracie looking on with her head cocked to one side as to say, don't do it, stupid, reasoning that 1 second burst from such a tiny little old thing couldn't hurt all that bad. So I decided to give myself a 1 second burst just for the heck of it. I touched the prong to my naked thigh, pushed the button, and holy mother of God, weapons of mass destruction. What the fuck? I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan ran in through the side door, picked me up in a recliner, and body slammed this bolt in the carpet over and over again. I vaguely recall waking up on my side in the fetal position with tears in my eyes, body soaking wet, both nipples on fire, testicles nowhere to be found, with my left arm tucked under my body in the oddest position and tingling in my legs. The cat was making meowing sounds I have never heard before, clinging to a picture frame hanging above the fireplace, obviously in an attempt to avoid getting slammed by my body flopping all over the living room. Note, if you ever feel compelled to mug yourself with a taser, one note of caution. Excuse me. There is no such thing as a 1 second burst when you zap yourself. You will not let go of that thing until it is dislodged from your hand by a violent thrashing about on the floor. A 3 second burst would be considered conservative. A minute or so later, I couldn't be sure as time was a relative thing at that point. I collected my wits, what little I had left, sat up and surveyed the landscape. My bent reading glasses were on the mantle of the fireplace. The recliner was upside down and about 8 feet or so from where it originally was. My triceps, right thigh, and both nipples were still twitching. My face felt like it had been shot up with Novocaine, and my bottom lip weighed 88 pounds. I had no control over drooling. Apparently, I shit in my shorts, but was too numb to know for sure, and my sense of smell was gone. I saw a faint smoke cloud above my head, which I believe came from my hair. I'm still looking for my testicles, and he's offering a significant reward for the safe return. P.S. My wife can't stop laughing about my experience, loved the gift, and now regularly threatens me with it. If you think education is difficult, try being stupid.
The girl's not saying nothing. You muted them.
I muted myself, so I wouldn't laugh.
Oh, God. I don't know, Phil.
I can picture Phil doing that. Enjoying his nipples twitching and everything, you know? Sorry.
Oh.
I just had to say it.
Yeah, I figured that. So what else is going on? What's the latest news, Eunice?
What's the latest? Well, I've got a meeting with the Lieutenant Governor next week, and the Speaker of the House, and the Senator's President, which is a woman.
Right.
So this should be very interesting. I'm going to give him the human side of it, Phil.
Uh-huh.
They need to hear the human side. So... I personally know the Lieutenant Governor. He's from Worcester here. So we'll just see. I'm
I'm really positive about it.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear her, Mrs. Show, Sunday?
No, Sunday I was at the L.A. Convention Center.
Yeah, he did a thing on the lieutenant governor. And he thinks I'm going to get him into for that signing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't know. I just love him. But everything's going okay. You know, we're really optimistic about it. And I leave the end of the month and go to Florida, and then I'll be flying back in November when they sign the bill. So that should be kind of interesting. I'm a little excited about it. Like I said, it's only taken 10 years to get it out of there.
Yeah.
Now, have we heard anything about the fellow that was on trial?
Which one?
Stepdaughter?
Oh, no, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Well, that should be very interesting.
Yeah, they've been kind of keeping it hush-hush right now.
I wonder why.
Well, because he had his prospects... bringing chicks to their house so he could get laid.
You know, it's a wonder
what?
He's still alive.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons they ousted him from the club.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
who got laid?
Huh?
I just missed that. What did you say? Who got laid?
Like
the guy that was the president on the Devil's Ride from the
Oh, yeah. What happened? Did you find out yet or no?
Well, they're keeping it kind of hush-hush, but chatter from some of the guys in the club was he was having the prospects bring chicks to guys' houses so he could bang them. And then when he was in the Marine Corps, he only did 12 years because they say he molested one of his cousins while he was home on leave. So in order to save his Marine Corps career, he got hushed up. But that's probably why he got out.
Well,
I'm sure.
That's crazy.
With a dishonorable or with an honorable? You know,
no.
That really pisses me off. What do you mean?
He probably got an OTH.
What's an OTH?
Other than honorable.
Oh, okay. All right. Did I ever tell you I was married to a Marine?
Yes.
Did I tell you? I did.
Go ahead.
He was stationed in Norfolk. Down at the Naval Base in Norfolk.
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend's husband was stationed there, too. This was in the early 60s, before the Cuban crisis. So we decided, they used to come home like every other weekend.
Right.
You know, they'd drive up together. And Earlene lived in upstate New York. And I had my oldest son at the time. He was like 9 months old. So anyways, the guys called and said they couldn't make it. So, you know, we felt bad because we hadn't seen him for a while. And so Earlene's mother suggested, because I had gone up to New York, suggested that Earlene and I go down and surprise the guys. So we said, okay. Well, Norfolk was a secure base. You know, you couldn't get on the base.
Right.
So anyways, there was like a dirt road across from Norfolk. And we called them up, but they didn't know we were down there. And they called them the bitch boxes. You know, when you called your husbands, you know, they'd announce over the bitch box that you had a phone call. So we said, what are you doing? And they said, oh, we got to go on duty tonight. Oh, okay. So, you know, I just didn't believe him. And he had a 58 Ford. It was black with canary yellow fins on the back there.
Uh-huh.
So we're parked across the street, and here comes the car out of Norfolk. And so I said to Earlene, let's follow them.
at that time, you could not drink in Norfolk. You had to go to Richmond, Virginia to drink.
Right.
And it was just beer and wine at that time. So, and then the Navy guys had their own bar, the Marines had their own bar, and so forth, so forth. So anyways, we follow them, and now this girl, they pulled up to this house, and this girl come out, and I'm telling you, Phil, if you've seen her boobs, you know, I don't know how she carried them, really.
Well, trust me, I've seen my share, I've seen wow. four lifetimes of
yeah,
oh,
I'm telling you.
Oh,
so then they go and they pick up this other girl. And so we wait until they get very comfortable in this Marine bar. And they had like hot, like it was like half moon booths. Do you know what I mean? Half moon?
Right.
So they're very engrossed in the conversation with these girls. So I said to Erling, you sit here. And I said to the waitress, how would you like to make $10? $10 back to them was a lot of money, you know.
Right.
And she said, sure. She says, well, what you want to do? I said, I want to serve those two couples over there, whatever they're drinking, you know. And she says, okay. So I walk over. They ordered beer. And I says, I forgot how much it was, you know. And I says, oh, is this your boyfriend? And the girl says, no, he's my fiancé, with her southern accent. And I goes, oh, well, don't you think he should get divorced before he gets engaged? And with that, my husband looks up, see? And Bob's head turned, and I just pointed to the bar where Erling was sitting. And Buddy goes, now you got to picture my husband. He's 6'5". He's got a waist about 32, and his shoulders were like 58s, you know. That's how muscular he was. So anyway, she says, well, who are you? I said, I only happen to be his wife. I says, but that's okay. He'll be divorced soon enough. You can have him.
Uh-huh.
And Erling and I walked out the door. So guess what we did next? We went to the Navy bar. And we walked in, and I looked for the biggest guy I could find.
Right.
And asked him if he'd like to dance. And he says, oh, yeah, sure, I'd love to. And with that, both the Marines come walking in. Well, you just never walked into a Navy bar. Or the Navy never walked into the Marine bar, you know.
Exactly.
So Buddy comes over, and he goes, taps the guy on the shoulder, and he says, do you know you're dancing with my wife? The guy looks at me, and I look at him, and I says, that asshole tried to pick me up in that Marine bar down the street, you know.
Yeah.
And with that, the fight broke out, and Erling and I went and sat on the car outside. They called the MPs, the whole nine yards. I got home, and about 3 days later, this captain, I'll never forget his name, Captain Alger was his name.
Mm-hmm.
He says, do you know what you did? I had to go get your husband out of jail. You know, he's an MP, and he ended up in jail, and there are big fighting charges against him and everything, and you created this. He's a wonderful Marine. And I says, he might be a wonderful Marine, but he's a fucking husband.
Uh-huh.
He says, he deserves to be in jail. You know, but you know how stupid we all are? I ended up going back with them and ended up having more children.
Uh-huh.
You know. So we all do stupid things in our lifetime.
That's true. I've been accused of that myself.
You know. So it's, life goes on, though.
Yes, it does.
Yep.
I learned a long time ago, if you can learn from your mistakes, you won't have to battle.
Right. The only thing good that come out of that marriage were my children. It's the only good thing that come out of that. And I have a wonderful husband now. I'm very thankful that I have him. But good things come to good people. once in a while, and I really believe that. So we got to get back to that jerk with his daughter. You have to keep us abreast of that.
Yeah. Let me check something here real quick, and I update from one of the sites. Because we're down to the last 5 minutes. And,
yeah.
I want to apologize again because due to conflicting schedules in Hollywood, Emilio wasn't able to make it tonight, which meant the other three people didn't call in either because they were at the same meeting. So everybody will be here Thursday.
Awesome. All right. It'll be good to hear them.
Yeah, we're going to have that Down syndrome ride Sunday, and then Emilio will be there, Paul will be there, and I just posted a thing for Emilio's Left Out Kids on my Facebook page. If you want to buy one of the shirts, it's $30, and he'll give you he'll also throw in a autographed headshot.
Nice.
That's good.
What's this for? The run that you guys are doing Sunday?
Down syndrome.
Okay, where's the link at?
What, for the Down syndrome?
Yeah, I mean for the shirt.
The shirt's on my page. I just put it up.
Oh, the lady with the shirt? That's it?
That's his wife.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah, that's his
they
wife.
Don't have PayPal?
Huh? Well, no, I'll talk to him about that.
Okay.
But,
listen, girls, I'm going to say goodnight.
Goodnight, Eunice. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Yep.
Goodnight.
All right, hold on. We got a caller from 415. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil, it's Mark from Long Beach. Real quick, the thing on Sunday, I saw on the blog that you need some volunteers possibly or donations of water and soda.
Yeah.
How do I do that? How do I get involved with that? Should I call back on Thursday or talk to you separately? Or we can donate some stuff here from the store, and then you know my time is free on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, what you can do is you can bring it with you Sunday if you want, because I'm not sure of the drop-off point yet, but I can find that out and let you know. Otherwise, if you just don't want to make two trips, you can just bring it with you.
Well, you know, something like that, I can bring cases of stuff in my pickup, you know, either if they need it the day before, I can do that, or Sunday morning early, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
Let me find out for you, and I'll get back to you on that. But also,
okay.
There's a link there where that says you can go on that link, talk to Philip or his wife directly.
Okay. And they'll be on the show on Thursday?
I'm sorry?
Philip will be on the show on Thursday?
Yeah.
You mean Bill?
Yeah. Oh,
no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's talking about Philip is the guy whose son is the thing we're doing this for.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
my mistake.
Yeah, okay.
I thought he meant Bill.
I didn't see if their number was there on the blog, but I'll look for it, or I can get it from you later on.
It's on the flyer on the right hand side.
Oh, okay. All
that
right.
562 number.
Okay. I'll look for it. I'm not looking at the computer now.
Yeah, that's a direct line for them. But if you can't get through, send me an email. Let me know, and I'll take care of it.
Okay. Well, I'll do that, and I'll say goodbye now because I know it's show's about to end in another minute or two, and let everyone else say whatever their final words are. And we'll talk to you later this week.
Yeah, and don't forget to bring your wife Sunday.
I'll do my best. You know, our work schedule is real tough lately. So,
well, tell her I said she needs to be there.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll make sure to tell her. All right,
okay,
thanks a lot. We'll talk
all right,
to you
soon.
Bye.
All right.
Okay, guys. Good night.
Good night. Everybody.
Good night.
I'm going to take us out here with a little Mike
P. Yeah. Yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
Be G-A-L-L-E-Y, we stay G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homies. G-A-L-L-E-Y, we stay G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homies. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley, It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. Twist the bottle open, homie, throw away the cap. Cause where we going, man, we don't need that. All we need is a 30-pack, a pack of Jimmy straps, pack of hood rats, and a pad to kick it at.